All right, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Fabulous Friday, February 17th, 2012. This is the Think and Grow Rich Call. What a wonderful day to be alive. What a wonderful day to be recognizing and realizing and reminding ourselves that we are in control of our realities. That is one of the core messages of the book, Think and Grow Rich. One of the most important things I have discovered in my life is that people, events, circumstances, realities are very pliable for the person who has a major definite purpose and knows who he or she is and knows where he or she is going. That's one of the things that we remind everybody on this call every single day to do: have a major definite purpose, know who you are, repeat your self-confidence formula, analyze your belief system, make sure you know what you believe, make sure you know what you don't believe, make sure you know that there are some things that you don't know. And I'll tell you, there are so many benefits to this philosophy outside of just accumulating wealth in your life. You know, yesterday, as I was going through my day, had some negativity come into my life, had some people accuse me of certain things, you know, and towards the end of the day, I'm talking to my wife, and I'm thinking, well, are these things true? Are they not true? And I wake up this morning, I put on my headset, or my headphones, I'm in the gym, and I'm listening to my major definite purpose, and I'm listening to my self-confidence formula, and I'm reminding myself of my beliefs, of who I am, of where I'm going, and instantly all of that other stuff faded into insignificance as I realized that I know where I'm going. And sometimes when people say things about you that are negative, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know thyself, those things can impact you and take you off course. But if you know who you are, if you know where you're going, if you know what you're about, folks, that stuff is not going to knock you off course. You're going to continue on towards your major definite purpose. You're going to follow the Think and Grow Rich philosophy, which is a wonderful philosophy to live by, knowing where you're going, knowing who you are, knowing what your beliefs are, scoping your beliefs as you move forward, making decisions fast and swiftly moving forward. All this stuff that we talk about on this call in helping myself and everyone on this call develop an unstoppable mindset. And that's what we're about here. We're out to develop an unstoppable mindset so that we can become the best people that we can possibly be, so that we can impact the highest number of people that we possibly can, so that we can be an influence for good, so that we can be an influence for production, for being people who are producers, who reach out and influence others to have faith and take action in their lives. Folks, in order for us to do this most effectively, we have to have the mindset that we're learning on this call every day. So I want to say congratulations to you for taking a little time out of your day and being on the call with us this morning. Now, we have been taking a little bit of a hiatus from the book Think and Grow Rich. We're going through now actually The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Waddell. And we're going to get through this real quick, and then we're probably going to jump right back to Think and Grow Rich, because, again, Think and Grow Rich is the foundation. It is absolutely the foundation that will get each of us on the road to wealth and more happiness and more confidence in our lives. But today, Chapter 6 of The Science of Getting Rich is entitled How Riches Come to You. And I'm reminded, Doc Fran the other day said on a call, you know, he was quoting Steve Martin, who he heard Steve Martin one time talk about how it's easy to become a millionaire. And he was telling people how you become a millionaire. And he says, you know, becoming a millionaire is easy. First thing you do, get yourself $1 million. Kind of funny. And I appreciate Doc for sharing that with us. But anyway, how riches come to you. When I say that you do not have to drive sharp bargains, I do not mean that you do not have to drive bargains, any bargains at all, or that you are above the necessity for having any dealings with your fellow men. I mean that you will not need to deal with them unfairly. You do not have to get something for nothing, but you can give to every person more than you take from him or her. You cannot give everyone more in cash market value than you take from him, but you can give more in use value. This is a key concept, use value, than the cash value of the thing you take from him. the paper, ink, and other material in this book may not be worth the money you pay for it, but if the ideas suggested by it bring you thousands of dollars, you have not been wronged by those who sold it to you. They have given you a great use value for a small cash value. Let us suppose that I own a picture by one of the great artists, which in a developed society is worth thousands of dollars. I take it to Baffin Bay and by salesmanship induce a native dweller to give me a bundle of furs worth $500 for it. I have really wronged him, for he has no use for the picture. It has no use value to him. It will not add to his life. But suppose I give him a gun worth $50 for his furs. Then he has made a good bargain. He has use for the gun. It will get him many more furs and much food. It will add to his life in every way. It will make him rich. When you rise from the competitive to the creative plane, you can scan your business transactions very strictly. And if you're selling any person anything which does not add more to his life than the thing he gave you in exchange, you can't afford to stop it. You do not have to beat anybody in business, and if you are in a business which does beat people, get out of it at once. Give everyone more in use value than you take from him in cash value. Then you are adding to the life of the world by every business transaction. If you have people working for you, you must take from them more in cash value than you pay them in wages, but you can so organize your business that it will be filled with the principle of advancement, and so that each employee who wishes to do so may advance a little every day. You can make your business do for your employees what this book is doing for you. You can so conduct your business that it will be a sort of a ladder by which every employee who will take the trouble may climb to riches himself. And given the opportunity, if he will not do so, it is not your fault. And finally, just because you are to cause the creation of your riches from formless substance which permeates all your environment, it does not follow that they are to take shape from the atmosphere and come into being before your eyes. If you want a sewing machine, for instance, I do not mean to tell you that you are to impress the thought of a sewing machine on thinking substance until the machine is formed without hands in the room where you sit or elsewhere. But if you want a sewing machine, hold the mental image of it with the most positive certainty that it is being made or is on its way to you. After once forming the thought, have the most absolute and unquestioning faith that the sewing machine is coming. Never think of it or speak of it in any other way than as being sure to arrive. Claim it as already yours. It will be brought to you by the power of the supreme intelligence acting upon the minds of men. If you live in Maine, it may be that a person will be brought from Texas or Japan to engage in some transaction which will result in your getting what you want. If so, the whole matter will be as much to that person's advantage as it is to yours. Do not forget for a moment that the thinking substance is through all, in all, communicating with all, and can influence all. The desire of thinking substance for fuller life and better living has caused the creation of all the sewing machines already made, and it can cause the creation of millions more and will whenever people set it in motion by desire and faith and by acting in a certain way. You can certainly have a sewing machine in your house, and it is just as certain that you can have any other thing or things which you want and which you will use for the advancement of your own life and the lives of others. You need not hesitate about asking largely. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom, said Jesus. Original substance wants to live all that is possible in you and wants you to have all that you can use and will use for the living of the most abundant life. If you fix upon your consciousness the fact that your desire for the possession of riches is one with the desire of the supreme power for more complete expression, your faith becomes invincible. Once I saw a little boy sitting at a piano vainly trying to bring harmony out of the keys. I saw that he was grieved and provoked by his inability to play real music. I asked him the cause of his vexation, and he answered, I can feel the music in me, but I can't make my hands go right. The music in him was the urge of original substance containing all the possibilities of all life. All that there is of music was seeking expression through one child. God, infinite intelligence, so on and so forth, the one substance is trying to live and do and enjoy things through humanity. He is saying, I want hands to build wonderful structures, to play divine harmonies, to paint glorious pictures. I want feet to run my errands, eyes to see my beauties, tongues to tell mighty truths, and to sing marvelous songs, and so on. All that there is of possibility is seeking expression through people. God wants those who can play music to have pianos and every other instrument, and to have the means to cultivate their talents to the fullest extent. He wants those who can appreciate beauty to be able to surround themselves with beautiful things. He wants those who can discern truth to have the opportunity to travel and observe. He wants those who can appreciate dress to be beautifully clothed, and those who can appreciate good food to be luxuriously fed. He wants all these things because it is himself that enjoys and appreciates them. They are his creation. It is God who wants to play and sing and enjoy beauty and proclaim truth and wear fine clothes and eat good foods. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do, said the Apostle Paul. The desire you feel for riches is the infinite, seeking to express himself in you as he sought to find expression in the little boy at the piano. So you need not hesitate to ask largely. Your part is to focus on and express your desire. This is a difficult point with most people. They retain something of the old idea that poverty and self-sacrifice are pleasing to God. They look upon poverty as a part of the plan, a necessity of nature. They have the idea that God has finished his work and made all that he can make, and that the majority of people must stay poor because there is not enough to go around. They hold to so much of this erroneous thought that they feel ashamed to ask for wealth. They try not to want more than a very modest competence, just enough to make them fairly comfortable. I recall now the case of one student who was told that he must get in mind a clear picture of the things he desired, so that the creative thought of them might be impressed upon formless substance. He was a very poor man, living in a rented house and having only what he earned from day to day, and he could not grasp the fact that all wealth was his. So after thinking the matter over, he decided that he might reasonably ask for a new rug for the floor of his best room and a coal stove to heat the house during the cold weather. Following the instructions given in this book, he obtained those things in a few months. And then it dawned upon him that he had not asked enough. He went through the house in which he lived and planned all the improvements he would like to make in it. He mentally added a bay window here and a room there until it was complete in his mind as his ideal home, and then he planned his furnishings. Holding the whole picture in his mind, he began living in a certain way and moving toward that which he wanted. And he owns the house now and is rebuilding it after the form of his mental image. And now, with still larger faith, he is going on to get greater things. It has been unto him according to his faith, and so it is with you and with all of us. Folks, there's a lot in this chapter. One of the key ideas in the first part is the idea that we can give people more in use value than we take from them in cash value. In network marketing, think about this. What does your new business partner get when they join your team? I'll tell you, when they join our team, I've written an ebook that I give away to people. We have this morning call that you can actually use in your business because it's not company specific. We have team trainings, team webinars. We have incredible people that they can associate with and gain value from. There's so much value that they're getting more than just the little, you know, $60 product that they're buying. And that's the atmosphere. That's the environment that we want to create if we're going to have wealth in our lives. We want to give people way more than they give us in cash value. So it's a very powerful concept. And I want to hear some discussion here. Now, my phone might go dead, folks. I apologize. My battery's about dead. So if I lose you, please just go ahead and finish the discussion. Star 6 to unmute your line. Star 6 to mute your line. And I do want to open it up. Line. Okay, I know there are a lot of thoughts that want to come out on this call based on the content we've gone through, so please press star 6 and jump out. Would love to hear from you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick Martin.
Good. Glad we could have you on the call this morning.
Ah, thank you. Me too. I was getting a little nervous.
It's a wonderful topic, and it's going to be a short line from me. I read a book a few years ago, and I think the gentleman's name was Tim Templeton. And he said in the book, he said, your true value Now, the true value is determined by how much you give in value versus how much you get in return. And he also added to that, he said, your true worth will determine, your true compensation will determine by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. And it goes a lot along this, the way this book was written and the principles or the creed of this book, right? And it brought me right back to that book with Jim Clavigan. It's a wonderful book. I would recommend it to anyone. But it's a wonderful topic, and we'd love to hear everybody else comment on that.
Rick, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Melvin. I'm doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing excellent. I, well, as usual, I might step on some toes, but I was in the insurance industry, and I've been with about seven insurance companies, and it's there's no way in the world I would sell that stuff again. That's truly a program and a thing that I see where you're taking a lot more than you're giving, and I got to a point to where I couldn't even talk to people any longer because as I've learned more about the industry and all, I really got the feeling, you know, come on, Melvin, you don't buy this and you don't believe this any longer. And I had to leave it alone because I know, and if you think about it, the insurance company's actually betting that you live and you're betting that you die as you pay that money. And they're always taking more than what value they're giving. And that's why in many cases where there are things that happen, insurance companies will look for the smallest print to get out of paying you because it's not really there for you. It's really there for themselves. I know somebody else might have some different thoughts about it, but my years of working with them and seeing how they operate it, it's not something I want to be associated with, which also brings me to the point of why each of us should really study what we're involved with. Try to know it from A to Z, and because you know it from A to Z and you get yourself truly sold on it and you can truly feel and see the value of it, it makes it very easy to now go out there and share this with other people knowing that you're really offering and giving them something of real value. Back to you, Paul.
Melvin, great observations. I really appreciate that. And I want to piggyback one thought onto what you just said. Anyone that's on the line that's in network marketing, you have to understand what your prospects are looking for. And I'm going to tell you right now, and if you get this, and if you understand it, you're going to become an excellent recruiter. Okay, are you ready? Your prospect is looking for somebody that has value, that knows something, that can help them be successful in the business. And what Melvin just said is where it starts. If you're a sponsor who knows your company, who believes in your company, who can explain it well, then your prospect knows that you can help them explain it to the people that they know. And that is where you start. And then what do you do after that? You grow, right? You gain new skills. You learn maybe how to generate leads or how to buy leads and how to work them or how to cold call. You generate a new skill so that when your prospect wants to grow and wants to move, you have something to offer them. Your prospect is looking for leadership. They're looking for somebody who has value. And so, Melvin, that was perfect. That's the first place that you add value and show your prospect that you are somebody that they should work with. So great, great points. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's Doc Fran.
So wonderful to hear your voice, Doc.
And also to you, you do bring such enormously excellent energy to the call. You can truly feel that you're living your life in enthusiasm, and that is one of the greatest gifts that one can impart. This was such an unbelievably powerful chapter. And, I mean, it was just revelation after revelation as you were reading Waddell's words there. And it speaks to so many things that we've talked about in terms of how divine source works through us to create this ever-expanding, infinite, abundant universe that's there for all of us to have. And the whole gist of what the conversation has gone to following the teachings of this lesson has to do directly with exchange in life. And everything that we do, folks, is an exchange. And exchange is really a marvelous thing, and it really is a powerful force. And just real quickly, I'm going to throw out that exchange runs a gamut, as does virtually everything in life. There is a spectrum associated with virtually everything. And exchange can go from the lowest end in what's called criminal exchange, and that's where you steal things or you rob banks. That's criminal exchange. You have a condition above that called out exchange, and that's where one side of the exchange is giving more than they are gaining back in value. Then you have a condition called normal exchange or good exchange, and that's where there is an equal flow of value from one side of the equation to another. And we see that in bartering, the idea of exchanging a rifle for pelts. That's good exchange. Then we go into the opposite of out exchange, which is up exchange, where, you know, one side is giving more, but they're willing to accept what they're getting back. And then finally, you move into the highest form, which is called exchange in abundance. And abundance is a wonderful word because that is the key word that is associated with our divine source, our God, our creator, and our universe. So with those things in mind, always keep in your mind, where is the exchange? And, you know, many people wonder why some individuals will leave and quit their businesses regardless of what is being done for them in helping them grow their business. And I think you may find, and I'd like to hear some people answer that question for us, where might their level of exchange be that would compel them to leave the group? Back to you, Paul.
Doc, every time I listen to you, I learn, I grow, I gain wisdom. Doc Frantz, for those of you who don't know, is my sponsor in the company that I'm with, and he is a perfect example of, you know, why would I want to work with somebody like Doc Fran? Folks, you hear him on the call, and he's just so full of wisdom and knowledge, and I just grow with this man. So this is a perfect real-life example of, you know, what are your prospects looking for? They're looking for somebody that can help them move forward and grow and be a better person. Thank you, Doc Fran.
Hey, Paul, I got to jump back in here for a moment.
Please.
When my sponsor introduced me, one of the things he did, he introduced me to both you and both Doc Fran. And after talking to the two of you, I said, "This is a group I'm going to be in." And based on what you said, one of the things that I get from each of you is I never talk to either of you where you don't try to do your darndest to leave that person with something or give that person something in your conversation. Always the case. And it's just beautiful. I can feel the difference of associating with someone that every time you leave, you're leaving with, you know, like, wow, man, I'm richer than I came, rather than most of the people I talk to. And if it weren't for me being able to handle it, you could feel you would be drained. Something's being taken from you. It makes all the difference in the world. Back to you, Paul.
Melvin, thank you for those thoughts. And the feelings are absolutely mutual, my friend. Just such an honor and a privilege to work with you and learn from you. And you're somebody who is doing that also, trying to always increase the value of somebody else's life. So just really appreciate that. Anyone else? Star 6.
Hey, Paul, it's Dana in Arizona.
Hey, Dana, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you. Hey, I want to piggyback on what Melvin was saying because he hit the key issue. Because when you talk about people who are leaving the business or that are encouraged by our examples that we put out, we encourage people to expand their business. And I'm amazed sometimes that regardless of what you do, people, you can go in their back office if they give you permission to do so, and you look in there, and they haven't been in there since the day they signed up. And so rather than blame them for that, and rather than putting all the blame on myself, what I saw happening in our business was that we don't even know who our upline is. And we know who the person that brought us in, but she brought us in on a gold ticket. We don't even know who's above us. So that's why we saw our business floundering, because we were not putting somebody out there as a mentor in front of us until we got hooked up with you and hooked up with Jay Yerman over in California. And that's when things started to change, because I had to look at myself and go, maybe the break in the flow is my relationship to who's above me and who my mentors are. But maybe I've put up something in there. And so that's what I found. And since we have rectified that, and now we have mentors like you and Jay and several other guys in the company, Doc Fran, I think Doc Fran, he's got a voice that comes on the phone and you feel instant peace, because the words are wise, and it's just that smooth voice of his that sets everything in order. So even though I've never met Doc Fran, I glean from him every single day. And I'm telling you, this flow that Melvin's talking about, and why people, you know, don't go out there and do the business, it's also the reason why they quit. Because they never go back there and learn about the business like they should. And so, you know, if you're given information and you never go and investigate that, I don't care what the topic is, you go out there and you will not share it because you feel insignificant and you feel unknowledgeable on the subject that you've been entrusted with. And so it's the same thing in the business. When people don't accept your advice and your counseling, they continue to go out and they don't do anything, it's because they don't have the information and they feel uncomfortable sharing it with anybody because a question might come up and they may not know how to answer it and they don't know how to get around it. So it's just the indecision on their part to get in it and learn about it and then push forward because they don't have the tools. But I thought that was an excellent point that Melvin made.
Dana, very, very excellent comments there, and this is such a great discussion. One thought I'll throw out there that kind of piggyback on your comment, you know, where does fear come from? Last night on a webinar, I was making the analogy of don't be afraid to get out on the dance floor and dance. Because who cares what people think? Who cares if they laugh at you, you know? And I was trying to make that analogy and draw it to life. You know, get out there and try, do things. And then I got off the webinar, and I had just got done encouraging everybody to get out on the dance floor and dance. And I realized that I'm one of those guys who won't get out on the dance floor and dance because I'm scared. And so I started asking myself, why is that? Well, it's because I don't know how to dance. So there's a lack of knowledge there. So I thought to myself, well, maybe if I learned how to dance and I had some knowledge, then I wouldn't be afraid to get out there and dance. And it's absolutely true. Lack of knowledge leads to fear. If you want to eliminate fear, gain some knowledge. Learn about your business. So appreciate that, Dana.
Hey, Paul, it's Mel again.
How are you guys?
Paul?
Melvin, go ahead, and then I had another gentleman after Melvin.
We don't speak much of this, but a major, major, major problem is laziness. And I think laziness ties very much into looking for something for nothing. Otherwise, I want to receive more than what I give. And it is so vital that, you know, the people come into programs and they want to make money, and I just shake my head. How can you want to make money and you don't want to do anything? You don't want to get on the calls. You don't want to study your material. I mean, you don't want to do anything. And what's amazing is there's so much of this. There's so much of it that I'm saying, wow, I had no idea. It makes me think about our educational system or what's going on, that we're so misinformed that we don't understand the basic law. In order to receive, you got to give. And there's so little giving. It's like just wanting something for nothing. I think one of the reasons that this program actually, this particular program does so much better than most is because it gives so much more than most. And so the average individual that's looking for something for nothing or does very little, it tends to keep them aboard. So it's very interesting. But back to you.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do, don't we, Melvin? And that's so fun that we have this mission where we have so many people that we can hopefully impact and change their thinking a little bit. Who was that jumping out there with Melvin?
That was James Best, Paul. How are you today?
Hey, James in California. Good morning. It's early for you, sir. Welcome to the call.
It is. I'm doing wonderful, sir. I thank you for that. I did have some difficulty for the first probably 3 to 5 minutes, so I was trying to get the chapter that you were reading from, and then I had a couple of comments.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the chapter is, let me grab it here. It is chapter 6, entitled How Riches Come to You.
Okay. Now, I just wanted to say, on this call and in this business and meeting people, like you said, they're looking for something. And when you tell them, they're looking for that sincerity. They're looking for that honesty. So, you know, like you and Doc Fran, like you said, when you leave someone, you know you leave them with something, but more importantly, they know you left them with something. And when people go into something, the gentleman Melvin was saying, like, you know, they want more than what they're giving. Now, in that, we have to realize, okay, we understand and we are confident in our business because that's what they want to see. They want to see that you're confident, because how can you introduce someone to something and you're not in 100% of belief in yourself? So when we share this with people, it is good to know the knowledge. We don't want to tell them about, you know, the whole program in the exposure or in the meeting, but we do want to have that confidence that we know. So if, like you said, there is a question, we can, you know, answer that question quickly and not, you know, feel like, okay, I'm not confident in this, so I'm going to, like, shy away or whatever the case may be. But people are looking for that sincerity coming from us as, you know, the person that is going to share that with them, the person that they can believe that, okay, if I do this, this person can help me. So, you know, when we look at different businesses, so we say, okay, this business is, okay, the investment is, you know, not a large investment, but you still have to, you know, get that 100% of what this business is. This is not a $30,000 investment where you have to do all your studies and you have to do, you know, all of your own back office and things like that. But at the same time, you have to take it in that same manner, because this is the same, you'll get that same result as if it was that $30,000 business. But when we, you know, share this with people and we say it's a small investment, you know, you still have to, you know, make it understood that this is still a business. You still have to, you know, focus yourself. You still have to train yourself. You still have to get that knowledge. So when they do that, they take this business very seriously. You know, so, you know, that was just what I wanted to comment on. I know when you start talking, some of the things that you wanted to say kind of get away. So, you know, I've been writing down notes as I'm, you know, speaking or listening so that I can, you know, remember what some of my comments were. But I do appreciate everyone on the call, and I just want to turn it back over to you, Paul.
James, thank you so much. I learned a word from Doc Fran the other day. The word is ethical presence. And it kind of goes along with another word called congruency. Ethical presence and congruency are when our words match up with our actions and our beliefs. And so right along with what you were saying, James, when we go to talk to somebody about the business, it's really important that we have that ethical presence, that congruency there where our beliefs are matching up with our words. Thank you.
Hey, guys, good morning. I want to get back in there real quick because this is very important, okay? This is so important, it's not even funny. And it's right there about your congruency and everything. Somehow that people may get the misunderstanding that we're that much different and we're not. You look about it. You got in this business and you're brand new. You don't know. You got in for a reason that most people want to get in. And so the easiest thing is to do is to tell the truth about it. I found something, you know, it looks very interesting to me. I don't know what your position is or what your situation is, okay? Are you looking to make some extra money? I'm not here to really explain it to you because I'm a novice. I just got into it. It looks very exciting to me. Would you be interested in talking to somebody who's experiencing this, making good money in it, looking to probably replace their job, looking to bring home their wife, looking to send their kids to college, whatever the affinity is with that person? Just be honest. You know, it's that's all it is. Be honest. I don't know anything about it. That third point. Look, but it looks very exciting to me. Do we have 15 minutes to see if there's something in it that could change your life? We don't know, but I see people's life changing. Are you interested in that? That is really a simple thing. All you want to do is get somebody to look at something, not try to explain it. Remove yourself from the equation. I mean, guys that are making six figures, remove themselves from the equation and use a team. Piggyback off the team. It's so beautiful. You know, it was J. Paul Getty, he said something like this. I'd rather have 1% of 100 people than 100% of my efforts. That's about all I got to say on this subject.
I love it, Rick. Tell the truth. You know, if you don't think somebody is going to be interested in what you're going to share with them, tell them. Say, hey, Rick, I know this probably wouldn't be of interest to you, but could you just do me a favor and look at it and see if you might know somebody? Just tell them the truth. Absolutely. Love it, Rick. Thank you.
That's wonderful. I mean, don't try to be something you're not.
Yeah,
you know,
yep.
You know, come on. Everybody got to start somewhere. You can't start from the top. You know, you don't start from the top. You start from the bottom. Everybody starts from the bottom. It's just be honest. That's the best thing you can do. You know why? The truth is more powerful than anything else. You know what? You never have to remember what you said because it's always the truth. Cool? Thank you.
Yep. Good stuff, Rick. Who's next? Star 6. Great discussion going on here. I'm really loving it.
Paul, this is Joy.
Hey, Joy. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate, can't say that word, what Doc Fran had said about why people would drop from other MLMs. And I just, you know, I don't lie very well, and sometimes I think they're in denial because they come in, you come into a business and they, you know, show you the money and you see the board and you start dreaming and then they, you know, you go out there and you work hard and you enroll people, but, you know, then the company doesn't tell you when you bring them up to your level that they cut your money off and you're not really going to be making money until you get way up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just go downhill from there because I can't lie to these people. It's like, okay, so when when you come into the company and you get to this level, I just want to let you know you're not going to make any money here. You got to work really, really hard to get past that, and it'll take a long time, so you'll be spending a lot and making nothing. And so when I found this company, this is the first company I found that is actually putting the money on the table. They're doing what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't get past that point. Are they in denial?
The companies that are doing that?
Yes.
I don't know. I think it's like Melvin says, people like to play games. They don't like to tell the truth. I mean, just to illustrate what you're saying here, I did a video on a compensation plan one time for about a company, and I said, hey, there's this, this, and this. It's a good company, but listen, you need to be aware they've got a quota here to where if you don't do this, they're going to cut your pay. Well, what did that company do? Called me and threatened me with a lawsuit, said take it down immediately. It was the truth. But they don't want people to know that before they join. They only want people to know that after they've got in and put 6 or 12 months of blood, sweat, and tears into the thing. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
I have a hard time.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah. Yes.
I got to come in again because now you really touched on something here. I've been doing these programs for about 42 years now. I've been in hundreds of different programs. And I have found that things are worded misleading in many companies, and much of what's said is not true. And so after you were involved and you really gotten on the inside, and you really get to know it, that's when you start finding out a lot of things that are true. And you get to the point that you realize, hey, I can't keep going on with this. So with all that said and done, when I did come across this particular program and I looked at it, immediately I said, I'm in here. I had never seen a company or been involved with one that had tends to give more than they're taking. And it's so obvious and it's so much out there to where it's on. In fact, one of my thoughts are, that when I share this with people, they're probably saying, oh, here we go again, the same old, not knowing that this is a whole different monster. It's just a totally different ball game. And so I totally understand exactly what she was saying and what she was coming from. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Who's that?
This is Michael in Maryland.
Hey, Michael.
I'd just like to piggyback on what the lady was saying earlier. I find those same frustrations, you know, and I'm sure we all do on the call, but also I kind of go into what Melvin does is I start probing when I talk to someone, and I'm finding that most of the time these people that seem like that they're stuck in what they're doing don't really know what they're in. They've taken somebody's word above them and have never looked under the hood for themselves to really see what they're driving. They're just repeating what they've heard, what they've been told, and they've been basically brainwashed. And they're not willing to look, but they want to complain because if they wasn't interested, they wouldn't be talking to you. So, you know, I don't know. I haven't figured out. The only thing I've figured out how to get around that is I just go back to the rule. You know, 20% does 80% of the work. So I just got to keep looking. So I can't spend a lot of time on trying to help. I mean, I try to convince them, you know, as far as showing them that, you know, look, you know, you're riding a Volkswagen, you know, you're not riding in a Jag or whatever, you know, so look at it for yourself. And I get them to compare the money, but I can't spend a lot of time on it because it'll bog me down. And I learned that, you know, in order for me to keep going, I have to keep moving. You know, if you want to go, hop on the train, but if not, you know, maybe this train will come back through and you can get on the next time it comes around, but I got to keep moving. So with that said, I just have to, I mean, I'm in awe. I was talking to a lady the other day and she's complaining about changing jobs. She's changing jobs again and she's looking for something. And as soon as I said, well, maybe I have something you can look at, then she says, well, can I talk to you about it tomorrow? Because I'm just so stressed. And this is not the first time she's done this. She's been doing this for almost 3 months now. With me, you know, it's always putting it off to later, put it off later. So basically, it goes back to what Melvin says. You know, some people just aren't going to, they don't want to change their situation. They just want to talk about it. You know, they're not really looking for a way to change. So we just got to keep moving and just remember that 20% does 80% of the work. So I'll turn the call over to you.
You got it, Michael. And I'll throw out one little thing here. One of the things that I try to do is, and this is one way that I feel that I'm adding more value than I'm requesting in cash value, even if somebody does not join my business, what I try to do is I try to teach people what to look for in evaluating a company before I show them the company that I'm in. And I truly believe, and I say this all the time, even if you don't join what we're doing, but you take this little piece of truth away to where you now can take the blinders off and you don't have to be fooled and misguided and put in all these different directions by these different, you know, unethical MLM companies and leaders who are just trying to give you smoke and mirrors and not tell you the truth. Just take this little piece of truth away, and even if they don't join me, I feel like I've done them a great service by showing them what to look for, and that's something that might be helpful to you, Michael, is if you run into somebody that doesn't know what to look for, ask them, hey, are you serious about generating residual income? Yes. Okay, well, listen, do you mind if I send you a presentation that will show you exactly what you need to look for in order to generate stable income that's maybe non-company specific? And then you send them a presentation that will really hit the points that people need to look for when evaluating a network marketing company that really hardly anybody teaches. So that's just a suggestion.
Hey, Michael, this is
Dr. Paul.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Paul.
No, that was James. You go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to thank Michael for his observations, and they are so spot on. And one of the things, I learned an expression from a gentleman named James Roberts, who is an Upteam partner of mine, and a gentleman whose experience and knowledge I respect. And he has the best line, because none of us want the maybe. The maybe is the kiss of death in building our businesses, no matter what business we're building. So he tells the person on the call, he says, well, tell me yes or tell me no, but tell me fast because I got to go.
That's good. I'm going to have to remember that one.
You stole it. I'm stealing it.
That's great. Thanks, Doc. James.
Yes. I was just going to say quickly, with the showing people the business, the duplication process, you master that because the way that you introduce the business, when a person comes back to you, you can say to them, okay, well, you know, what did I do? How did I introduce it to you? And then you can show them, you know, this is how you do this, the duplication process. So if you complicate the intro and when you expose it to a person, and, you know, when you introduce it, if you complicate it, then they're going to say, wow, you know, you're good. I can't do this. But if you simplify it to, you know, back to the basics and just follow, you know, what the system is, you'll be able to duplicate, and you'll be able to duplicate fast. And to the gentleman, Michael, when you said, like, the lady's been kind of blowing you off for 3 months, just ask her, well, is it okay if I just keep you updated or keep you posted, you know, and just to let her see, you know, the progress, or, you know, maybe down the line, or she might not be in a position. So you may feel like, okay, well, she's just blowing me off, but she really may not be in a position right now. So, you know, we don't know people's situation, so we have to, you know, be considerate to that, or we have to be, you know, like just, you know, we have to kind of like ease them in if they're not ready. So we know that everybody's not going to be ready. We know we have to go through the nose. So, you know, just let them know, okay, well, is it okay if I just keep you updated, keep you posted, and, you know, go on from there. Keep on moving through your numbers.
Thanks, James. Great ideas. Anyone else? Star 6.
Hey, good morning,
hey,
gentlemen.
Hey, Paul, Mike Nelson.
Jay.
I heard someone right before Mike, and then you, Mike. Who was that?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Jay Ehrman out in California, and my fourth day on your call, and I got to tell you, I hear a lot of you talking and have spoken to some of you off of this call, and what a fantastic call this is. And I just sort of want to piggyback on what the last young man had just said. And when you're presenting this, you know, I think we would all agree that people like to talk about one thing, and usually they talk mostly about themselves because that's what they're most comfortable with and they know. And when we're presenting this opportunity or any opportunity in the networking industry, people might not realize it, but the thing that they are most comfortable with is their current situation, no matter how good it is or how bad it is. And sometimes they just don't realize that. And what we're presenting to them is change. And change for a lot of people is very scary and difficult to do. And so when people get an opportunity like this, and we see it with such excitement and enthusiasm, it can be a little overwhelming and almost get someone to say no before they have the chance to really look at the opportunity to say yes, because they're just sort of stuck where they are. And if, you know, more people were to get on calls like this and do the things that you guys are doing with Doc Franz and Paul's and Dana's, and this is just an unbelievable day. I couldn't believe that you would ask me on Monday, Jay, are you going to wake up at 5:50 in the morning for the next 4 days to listen to a call like this and come away with anything? I probably would have said, I don't think there's a chance. And now after 4 days, I couldn't find myself in a better position. So I appreciate what you guys are doing, and thanks for letting me listen in.
Jay, thank you. Thank you so much for being on the call and contributing. Heard a lot of great things about you. You are a leader, obviously, and we are honored and grateful to have you on the line. So thank you for joining us. Mike.
I just wanted to envision here. When I first got started doing this, I was looking for leadership, like you said. And, you know, I just, first of all, I was introduced to Doc Fran right away, right out of the chute. And I thought, okay, there is a guy I'm looking up to right there. And then I stumble into Paul, and then I stumble into Melvin, and I find out they're all on the same team. I'm like, holy crap, no wonder I'm so pumped up, because all these guys are on the same team. And what I was going to say is, if you don't feel like you're a leader and you feel like you've got somebody that you really want to get into the business because you think they're a great person, the value of a three-way call, I think back about the one that Paul, you and I did, and Sean. Sean's doing great. He's got 10 people he wants to get going in the business, and it was all because of me not wanting to answer every question. I maybe could have answered all of his questions, but in my training, it says, I've been taught, when they have a question, show them that there is help out there other than you. There are great leaders, so use those great leaders and grow your business that way until you feel confident and you believe in what you're selling, and go from that way, go that direction. It works just wonders. One last thing I wanted to do, and something that I'm trying to do to get more people on this call is, hold on just a second. I got a customer calling me. Anyway, I started a blog, HTTP, it's time, the number two, retire, .blogspot.com. I'm kind of trying to design that thing so that the people on this call can get on there and get their thoughts for the day going, and just make comment on today's call and whatever. I wanted to see if that would work. Hopefully we get the word out and more people can get on this call and grow like I have.
Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate those comments.
Oh, isn't it exciting?
Anyone else?
Breaking through the second greatest fear in life. The greatest fear for most people is fear of dying. The second greatest fear is speaking in public. So I applaud all of our partners that have conquered that and allowed themselves to get on and really contribute things of value. Every person who has spoken here today has contributed value to every person on the call. And I just, it's so exciting that you've created this forum for us to accomplish that. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Doc, and I echo Doc's words. Every person that's spoken has contributed great value, and all of those on the line who didn't speak, we are excited to hear you overcome maybe your fear, your second greatest fear of speaking, and come out on future calls. We have gone about an hour here, so I'm going to go ahead and close the call. Listen, I do truly, and I hope you hear what I'm saying, I do love each of you. I do believe in you. I do have faith in you. This call is for us so that we can help each other, support each other, grow our faith in ourselves, grow our faith in our goals, move forward, take action, be persistent, and achieve, enhance the lives of those around us. Folks, thank you so much for being a part of this. Thank you for investing in yourself. Let's get out there today. Let's utilize the day we have. Let's put our money where our mouths are, and let's go talk to some people today about our businesses, right? Let's do that today. Let's move forward, and let's have a great weekend, and I'll see you all back Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Thanks, everybody. Make it a great weekend.